It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It's crunch time at the State House as the deadline for passing a state budget looms at the end of the week. Among the major issues is funding for transportation. Two bills have passed out of the Senate and are now being taken up by the House. One funds mass transit and infrastructure maintenance and improvements. The other impacts who controls the Port Authority of Allegheny County. I'm joined now by phone from Harrisburg by Democratic State Senator Jim Furlow of Allegheny County. Senator Furlow, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good afternoon, Paul.
If you have a comment or a question for our guests, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. What concerns do you have about mass transit? What concerns do you have, especially if you live in a rural area, about infrastructure improvements for roads and bridges? What would you like to see in the transportation funding bill? 412-246-2002, the number to call. And Senator Furlow, let's talk first about the transportation bill, looking at the legislation passed out of the Senate. The Senate this month passed a plan that in its fifth year would generate approximately $2.5 billion in new revenue for transportation. Is the funding adequate to cover the cost of mass transit and the cost of infrastructure improvements with roads and bridges, et cetera?
Well, first of all, I think it's very clear that we have a crisis in our Commonwealth. All due respect to the Corbyn administration, even Governor Rendell, we've been on a steady decline in not having the state resources, adequate enough resources, to look at the comprehensive needs that we have, transportation broadly defined, whether it's roads and bridges, our major highways, other roads at the smaller level of transit, traveling, within the counties that we represent. There's a whole issue of the freight rail grants that we continued, expansion of the rail passenger service. I sit on the Port of Pittsburgh Commission. In other words, there's a whole comprehensive look at transportation broadly defined. And to the credit of this administration, at least, and certainly Secretary of Transportation, they have spoken comprehensively. They haven't picked and choose different types of issues. They've looked at it comprehensively, and we acted positively. The state Senate, in a 45-5 vote, suggested the raising of $2.5 billion annually, as you said, and it looks at a comprehensive approach towards needed infrastructure, capital repairs across the state. It'll add another $2.5 billion on top of roughly $1.8 billion that's raised each year. And at some point, 8-10 years from now, this will be a reoccurring issue with capital budget needs for any government, state government or local government. But we've moved in the right direction. But as we see in the Congress and back here in Pennsylvania, it's getting bogged down now with the ideology of the conservative right-wing Republicans in the House, who are stalling and delaying any progressive action on the budget, on transportation, on other issues that we're confronted with.
I want to do the best that we possibly can in the time that we have to paint as clear a picture for people listening to this, why there is a holdup, what some of the contentious aspects of this are. And it does get a little convoluted, especially when we get into how this ties in with the whole issue of liquor privatization, and we'll get to that coming up. But as far as the transportation bill, which is now in the hands of the House members, what happens if they end up, as it sounds like they're going to do, approve less money? If they end up approving less money than is in the Senate plan, then what?
Well, I think all bets are off. This will go down as this is the week that wasn't. I think the governor could possibly have a couple of political wins that would really help our Commonwealth, especially on transportation, if he would accede to our concerns about the Medicaid expansion and finally get a budget adopted before June 30th, or at least no later than June 30th. I think that's enough on his plate that he can take some credit for. But everything is being bogged down right now, and the House bill would actually strip out the mass transit, and that's a deal breaker. We in the Senate are not going to allow the SEPTA system to decline or not be adequately funded. And we're certainly, from, you know, all of us from Allegheny County, Senator Costa, myself, Senator Fontana, you know, our whole delegation, you know, we'll be darned if we're going to see a vote for transportation that doesn't comprehensively address the urgent needs of the Port Authority.
So does it work as it does in the U.S. Congress, where if a bill is passed out of one house and it goes to another and changes are made, then there's a conference committee that gets together representing both houses, in this case the Senate and the House of Representatives, that would get together and then iron out the differences? Is that how it would work?
It could theoretically, as far as just the legislative, you know, process and protocol. The problem is, you have certain individuals that are locked in the, and they're, you know, they've locked their heels into the trenches on ideology. You know, the House proposes to eliminate tangential issues that are critical to maintaining jobs and middle class lifestyles. They want to curtail the prevailing rate requirement for construction, you know, activity as we rebuild and expend these capital dollars. They want to basically gut the allocation for transit. You know, you've had such Neanderthal comments by Representative Metcalf referring to transit as basically a welfare program for the urban areas. I mean, what an outrageous statement to make. I mean, we in Pittsburgh were the economic engine for not just the city but the region, with the living room of the region. We need adequate funding. We need a public transportation and public transit system. And that's certainly more true for SEPTA, which services, what, 8 or 9 counties out in the southeast and Philadelphia. So it's just, you know, we're really at a stalemate here. And, you know, that's really getting even more bogged down because of differences on liquor and, you know, the Medicaid expansion issue and disputes now even within the operating budget. You know, they want to pass, you know, there's an issue about whether or not we could continue to give corporate relief on taxes at a time when we have 17,000 teachers laid off by this administration. We keep cutting back on fundamental needs for public education.
We're talking with State Senator Jim Furlow. He is our guest here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, 412-246-2002, the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. The email address, ESSPGH@WESA.FM. You can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH. Follow the conversation at #EPLive. Greg on Twitter says, railroads and rights of way seem ubiquitous. Wouldn't turning them into mass transit corridors be an amazing jobs program? What about that, Senator Furlow?
Well, first of all, you know, my years in city council and certainly my years here, I've always been in favor of light rail systems, whether it be the East Busway, the Martin Luther King Busway, whether it be the HOV lane. Years back, I talked about taking that lane that goes out past Cranberry and making it, you know, light rail, you know, 3 or 4 hours in the morning and then outbound in the late afternoon. I mean, I think there are any progressive changes we can make that would be more cost-effective, certainly be more environmentally friendly. But there's not the vision in the state for big capital projects. And the one big capital project we had years back when there was some funding was the so-called tunnel underneath the Allegheny River, which at that time I certainly didn't support it because it was not the most critical transportation need that we had at the time. So, yes, I think there are rail systems that can be converted to light rail. The Port Authority bought out through eminent domain the Corliss Run, which is a rail line out towards the airport back to downtown. So there are options, and now more recently the county executive and others have been talking about trying to get a more efficient you know, bus system between Oakland, you know, between the two economic engines of Oakland and downtown. So in this comprehensive transportation bill, I do want to point out, because I fought very strenuously for this, we have the Pennsylvanian Railroad passenger, and it services a lot of small towns. It leaves Pittsburgh and services like Johnstown and Latrobe and like Greensburg, Tyrone, PA, and then comes through Harrisburg. That's a very important method of travel. So our bill includes a few million dollars in subsidies so that could continue to run. But the gentleman's right on. We need to be more efficient and more environmentally friendly.
412-246-2002. Wow. Let's go to Adam from Oakland. Adam, you're on with Senator Jim Furlow.
Hey, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
Good day.
Good afternoon. Good day.
My question or my comment is, I was in D.C. for the last 12 years working there as a young professional. Came back to take my Ph.D. here at Pitt. My comment is, when I was at the D.C. area, they have a metro system. It's fabulous.
Right.
And it's part of the success of the city. I'm wondering, or anticipating, like the rest of us young professionals, are we going to have a monorail system like that in Pittsburgh anytime soon?
Well, if we ever get rid of the military budget and actually do some big things in this country. You know, we're not capable of any big things anymore in this country. And I don't care if it's the Obama administration or the Republican administration. We just don't commit the kinds of capital infrastructure prioritization of the federal budget. And the metro system, including, let's take the system in Boston, which started out being a $2 billion project and grew to be $14 billion, even the addition of the metro, which is a wonderful system, we're talking about hundreds of billions. We're talking about very large numbers that are just not there anymore because the federal government has not, whether it's Democrat or Republican alike, they are just not making their priorities. I thought for all the years I fought against the military budget after the Vietnam War that we would see a peacetime conversion. But even with Obama, we've had endless war, and now we're going to get mixed up in Syria. So until the federal government starts, you know, straightening out its priorities, we're just not going to see big projects. You know, this country's not even capable of doing a Hoover Dam and things that we can all point to with pride over the many decades of our century, but you know, there's got to be a change of attitude and prioritization in D.C. before that money can come back down to the states.
Adam, thank you for your call and your question. Senator, let's get back into the trenches here at the Capitol. The House is taking up the transportation funding today, or has been this week, and a Senate committee is scheduled to take up liquor privatization. Republican House Speaker Sam Smith said, quote, if something pretty respectable doesn't happen with liquor, it's going to be tougher to get something with transportation in the House, end quote. How are these two issues linked, and what's going on here with one hand working with another?
But again, the point person here is the governor, not only politically, but as the executive branch. He needs to make some decisions very quickly as to what he hopes to accomplish in the remaining week. His first priority is for us to get an operating state government budget. That's his first priority. And the thought that he's going to, you know, parlay all these other major complicated policy initiatives and then start this internal fight between the House and the Senate. In other words, we won't move, meaning the House won't move transportation unless they get privatization of liquor and vice versa. That's just not realistic, and it's not going to happen because, first of all, a majority of my colleagues, all 23 Democrats and at least four or five Republicans, want a modernization, liberalization proposal for liquor, which is contained in my bill, Senate Bill 800. And we're not going to bicker and barter and do horse trading here. I think the governor's got to make a political decision about his future because right now, as unpopular as he is, he's becoming a lot less popular because he's not going to be able to move that football forward to the goal line on any of these major issues. And we haven't even talked about the Medicaid expansion, which is a critical issue. We have the ability possibly with the acceptance of the Affordability Care Act to insure more than 500,000 Pennsylvanians. There's certainly dissension on the issue of pension reform and a lot of confusion about the financial reality of his proposals. So, you know, we're going nowhere fast right now, and I would strongly suggest that we concentrate on the budget and we critically have to resolve whatever the capital budget is going to be for transportation.
And is there the realistic possibility at this point that June 30th is going to arrive or you know, a lot of times we see this stretched out days after the actual deadline, but I mean, could transportation funding be held up? And if so, then what?
You know, if I had to roll the dice right now and give you my own personal impression politically, I think we will achieve some budget resolution by the 30th or July 1. But I think there's a strong possibility right now because of the ideological differences, especially in the House, that we may not see a transportation bill, regardless of what the level of funding is, because there are poison pills in the House bill that are just not going to fly over here at the state Senate. The governor lacks the ability and the sophistication politically to take hold of this process. And, you know, we all, I always joke about, you know, people ask me, well, who makes all these decisions in the last few days? And I always say, well, it's five guys named Mo and the governor. At some point, at some point, the leadership, and it's a few on each side of the aisle and within each party, have to get together and try to come to some accommodation. It's going to be a struggle right now to just get a budget done. And with all these other issues, especially the Medicaid expansion issue, it's going to be very difficult. So I think we, you know, the governor is going to have to accept failure. And I think if he could intervene in any manner, it would have to be trying to come to some resolution with the House on transportation. But if it's going to be, you know, the anti-labor amendments and other amendments that reduce the funding, you know, if you're going to take a significant tax vote, and let's be clear, this is a tax vote. This raises a lot of money. It increases fees and fines. It increases the, you know, the oil company franchise tax. It's going to be reflected at some point in the gas pumps. There's even a surcharge for moving violations in order to fund transit. This is a difficult vote politically. And for those who are, you know, like Tea Party member-like folks, they're loath to vote for this, and they want to get their pound of salt out of this by, again, reducing the you know, family-sustaining jobs with the labor community. And it's just not going to fly here in the Senate.
Before we wrap this up, a separate Senate bill would change the structure of the Port Authority of the Allegheny Port Authority of Allegheny County Transit Board. The original bill would have increased membership on the PAT board from 9 to 11, with the county executive getting only one appointment compared to the current system where he appoints all the board members. The amended bill would allow the county executive, in this case Rich Fitzgerald, to appoint four board members. Is this a fair compromise in your opinion?
Well, the important thing is, and there were a lot of mixed emotions here, and actually, you know, my leadership on this issue is Vice Chair Appropriations. I think there are about 18 of us that voted no, even in the final bill, Senate Bill 700. It had one poison pill in it, and that was a reference to so-called privatization. Again, this ideologically driven nonsense about certain government functions have to be privatized. You know, the Port Authority is not privatization of a state of a countywide transit system is not logical or financially, you know. It makes no financial sense whatsoever to think that you're going to privatize a public trust and a public agency like the Port Authority. So I think it's a fair proposal. It increases to 11 members. All appointed by Fitz would, as you rightfully point out, would be four members. The state would have five, the governor and the various caucuses, the House, the Senate, the D's and the R's. The state does supply over 52% of the funding for a Port Authority. So if anything, I think it would strengthen the state's commitment in the operations and the finances of the Port Authority. So I think overall that would be a good thing. We voted technically no on the issue of this privatization section of the bill. It does require a concentrated plan to look at regionalization, something that the county executive, Mr. Fitzgerald, has also spoken about. I don't know that it's realistic. Other county transit systems may not have the legacy costs associated with Port Authority. They may be loath to want to join forces and consolidate. It would have to be something that we would sweeten the pot to have truly a more relevant transit system that would extend beyond just Allegheny County, which I favor. But there's a lot of issues that would have to be resolved in order to further that possibility.
Joining us by phone from Harrisburg, Democratic State Senator Jim Furlow of Allegheny County. Senator Furlow, thank you for spending time with us, and good luck as you work with your colleagues at the Capitol to hammer out a budget.
Thank you so much, and you're welcome to call back anytime.
Coming up, at the time of its creation, it was viewed as a wonder of the industrial world. Find out how 21st century technology has been applied to the 19th century Rodman Cannon on display at the Heinz History Center. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.